pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Just for the record, we have all board members present and Superintendent Citrude and Jared Black, our business administrator. We will begin by a presentation from Emory High School Drug Testing Proposal Update by Mr. Davis, Principal Davis.
Thank you. Appreciate having a chance to come in and update you on where we're at with this proposal. Last February, we met at Emory High School and I indicated that we were interested in pursuing drug testing at that time, knowing that we had a lot of homework to do and a lot of data to gather, and we got busy with that last spring. Our administrative team, Mr. Gordon and Mrs. Filter, went into the Learning Strategies classes and made presentations to all of our students and teachers about our intentions, about drug testing, to give them a chance to ask questions about it, certainly, and really know that we're not trying to hide anything or slip anything between the cracks, that we want to be very open with this and express our feelings and give them a chance to weigh in on it. We conducted polls in all of our classes. Students were asked to vote either I support drug testing, I do not support drug testing, I have no opinion about drug testing, or I need more information about drug testing. And I think we had almost every single student involved in that poll. Most of our students take learning strategies classes. About 300 and some students voted. I do have that data. I don't know if you've seen it or not. Let me hand this out. We have Mr. Gordon hand it out. There's also included there the model that we're looking at for drug testing policy that I'll be working with. This spreadsheet shows the learning strategies classes, number of students in those classes, number of students voted in those classes, and the results for each class. There's also a tally sheet on the outcome. And then at the bottom is data from there's also data from our parent poll. At the time we ended school last spring, we had input from all of our students. We had input from faculty, staff, coaching staffs, community council, student council, but we didn't have any parent data. And so we didn't want to leave that out there. We certainly wanted to involve parents during the summer. I posted articles on our website. We sent out mailings to parents prior to registration, and during registration invited parents to come in and vote about drug testing and give their input. And again, we had a very good turnout. Over 300 parents took the poll, and those results are listed here as well. And you can see, if you look at the bottom of the page of the data sheet, you can see that 91%, when you consider just yes or no voting, support drug testing at the secondary level. 9% are opposed to it. So we were encouraged enough at that point to continue our pursuit, and I certainly wanted to update the board on that. It's our intentions at this point, with your permission and your support, to hold a public hearing on this at Emory High School, which is scheduled for November 20th. This has not been advertised. I didn't want to do that before I had a chance to talk to the board about that. But we have everything looks good, then I will get that advertised starting tomorrow and give all of our stakeholders an opportunity to come in and express their opinions about drug testing, ask questions. We will have people there that are close to this effort, including the Sheriff's Department and faculty and staff, and hopefully we can answer any questions. We are using the Davis School District drug testing policy as a model. What you have is that policy. It was adopted last spring and enacted going into this school year. I like it a lot. There are some things that I would like to change and make a little bit more unique to our school district. And my intention is to prepare a draft proposal to present to the board when you come to Emory High School in January, and also give you another update. And at that time, I would propose that you consider that for adoption. Of course, you can do a lot of things with it, but at that point, that will kind of go from our efforts to your efforts. So, do you have any questions about where we're at right now?
I do. I want to know what is the buy-in from the Sheriff's Office? Are they?
The Sheriff's Office is fully supportive. Okay. In fact, they've offered their resources to use their lab for our testing. That lab is owned by Four Corners Mental Health.
Okay.
And the Sheriff's Office does all the testing.
Okay, that was another question.
And Sheriff Funk and I met just a couple of days ago and discussed this. We would start negotiating with Four Corners to do testing at $10 per test. That's the most it would be. That's a point of negotiation, so I would expect that to come down considerably. The cost, I'm sure you'd be interested in knowing what our plan is there. We would increase, or propose an increase in activity fees by up to $10. Right now we charge students participating in athletics $25 per sport, up to $50 maximum. And it is a very low activity fee.
So you're talking about the participation fee?
Not the...
Or are you talking about the regular school activity fee?
No, this is the activity participation
fee.
It's not what all students pay. This is just what those who participate
Seems like
in
that would make
athletics
sense.
Pay. So that would increase by $10. So they would pay $35 and run another $25 if they play more than one sport.
So that only applies once? That
yes.
was my question.
And then tell us what you liked about the Davis. How is it working so well? What did
well,
you use
I like the fact that it limits the testing to athletics plus they also test drill team cheerleaders. Activities could all be tested, but to me that's way too large.
Mm-hmm.
I think we need to start out initially at least testing FFA and math club and
mm-hmm.
any other extracurricular activity, but certainly athletics because of the safety factors,
right.
the risks involved there. So I like that aspect of it. I like the privacy of it. Numbers are assigned to students, and numbers are randomly drawn on a weekly basis and then tested. Those students are tested. There's consent form from parents. There has to be parental buy-in to all of this.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's affordable the way it's designed. There is no criminal implication here. If a student tests positive, it's not referred to the sheriff's department or the county attorney for prosecution. It's handled in-house according to the Utah High School Activity Association sanctions, depending on the number of offenses, which is two game or event suspension for first offense, 6 weeks for second, 18 weeks for a third. And any beyond a third will just repeat the 18-week suspension. Not many students get to that 18 weeks. They're usually in a lot more trouble than with the activities association.
Would parents be notified of the results of the test?
Yes, parents would be contacted. And I very much like that.
Mm-hmm.
Want parents to be involved beyond just signing the waiver. They need to be involved and know what's going on, know the results. They can contest the results, which would involve additional testing. Our primary focus on this is really as a deterrent.
Mm-hmm.
We want to heighten consciousness, raise the level of concern amongst our students. They know that there's a possibility that they may be precluded from participating in something they love to do because they violated a policy, because they've chosen to drink or do drugs. We believe that they're going to give it more thought, that they're going to make better choices.
How has it worked in Davis? Has it deterred the...
I haven't heard any results from Davis yet. That's not on the website.
Okay.
And I'm not sure that a lot of that data can even be released.
Probably true.
Because
yeah.
of the privacy issues.
Yeah.
But we are seeing more and more school districts going to this. It's become more affordable than it was
That's
years
true.
Ago. And
it used to be well over $100.
But we also recognize that these problems we're addressing are very pervasive. They are.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want to be in denial about it. We want to be proactive. And we want these whole programs to continue to be wholesome programs. We encourage our students emphatically to get involved in things. But we also tell them you can't have it both ways. You can't be involved and party on the weekends.
Yeah.
You might get away with it, but ultimately it just doesn't work. Interferes with the educational process. And we want to do everything we can to prepare these kids and so leave them behind for the next step. So.
Right.
In our community council meetings and this, a question arose, well, you're not reporting to the sheriff's office, it's not the main. But if a student is already in the system, then that student
right, yeah.
Or if we found drug paraphernalia or drugs,
mm-hmm.
And that would have to be reported. But if it was just the positive UA, then, we're going to deal with it in school. So
do you need a motion from us? Or?
One thing we haven't talked about is whether or not, and I don't know, Mr. Davis, if you've had any conversations with Mr. Johnson or any of high school. We may want to ask him if he has an interest in being involved in this, and if that's the case, then you may want to consider a district policy rather than just an Emory High policy for students in grades 9 through 12 who participate in high school activity association activities at the high school level.
Yes.
But again, we haven't had that discussion with Mr. Johnson at Green River High, Roy, so.
Yeah.
Probably something we need to at least talk about. If he doesn't feel inclined to do that at this time, we could have a school policy here. But
yeah, I'd be happy to share what we're doing with Nolan and invite him to some of the things that we've been doing at our school level.
We'll chat with him and have him get a hold of you.
And the superintendent brings up another point that you need to be aware of. This will have to involve ninth grade. So it will be administered in the junior high, at least on that grade level, because they, at least the students that are involved in high school.
Yeah, those who are participating in high school sports.
Right.
So everyone who's going to participate in a sport will be tested?
No.
Or just selected?
We do random testing on a weekly basis, so it would
potential.
Probably be four or five kids a week.
And how are they, how is the random?
They're assigned a number and then we draw the number.
So ever, so spring sports come around and you have all the baseball players, all the track and field, all of the softball, and so, and each one of them are assigned a number. And then weekly you draw out 4 or 5 out of that whole mix.
And where will this take place that those numbers would be drawn?
That's not yet been determined, but it would be in a private place. And the numbers would be known just to those on a need-to-know basis. It would not be anything for public consumption. Even coaches, no one would know except the ones directly involved.
If it happened to go to the next, to the test up to the sheriff's office, it would just be a number. Correct. They wouldn't. I mean, the sheriff's office would have no idea of a name behind their testing. They just have a number.
So this is a test per season, or per year?
We would do it all year long, but it would only
like in the middle of the season. Even you would do this random pick.
Yeah, every week. Now, chances are a student who participates in each season may never have their number called. They may go the whole school year without being tested. Someone else may be tested two or three times, depending on the draw. So it's random, but you never know. You know, you want those students to know that on any given week, their number could be selected and they would be tested.
So when you did the survey in the learning strategies classes, did you guys explain to the students what a drug test involves?
Yes. We offered an introduction to it. We told them why we were interested in it, how it might look, and we gave them a chance to ask questions and offer their input before we conducted the survey.
I'm sorry, you said probably where the parental, the parent survey was done, but where was that held? Or when was that?
We did that during registration. We picked up the registration materials, went into the faculty room. There were tables set up, and then we had student council members, as you exited the faculty room, direct the parents where to put their ballots. I did all the collection and counting of those ballots.
So, am I understanding that it would be required for the parents to give permission in order for the student to participate in
yes.
any extracurricular, okay.
In the tested
yes.
activities.
Yes.
What if a parent declined to give it the okay, then they couldn't participate in the sport?
That's where the policy
okay.
would be written.
Each activity has a tryout checklist,
mm-hmm.
and the students and the parents have to sign that they
mm-hmm.
will abstain from any.
And that will be part of it.
Yeah.
I think that's a big part of it. They,
mm-hmm.
they sign that same.
That's an activities association thing. So this would just be one more thing to check off that you turned in the parental permission for drug testing.
Okay.
We'll have a copy of this policy prior to board meeting in January, so we
yes.
have time to go over it.
Absolutely. Yes, I want you, the board members, to know what we're doing every step along the way. Ultimately, it will be up to this board, whether it happens or not, so I certainly do that. And then if you have questions in January, we can go through that.
That's good. It'll be good to get parents' input at your hearing. So
thank you.
Thank you for that and your concern. We will go with the consent agenda, the warrants, the minutes for the October 2013 board meeting, and the financial reports for October 2013. Are there any questions on those? Or
I had my questions resolved.
Okay.
I move that we accept them as they've been presented to us.
I'll second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? We just met before this meeting for a auditing report from Kimball and Roberts Auditing. And they gave glowing reports of the auditing that was done for fiscal year 2013 and highly complimented G Jared and Mrs. Allred for the work they've done, and we want to pass that on. But we do need an approval of their auditor report for that year.
I move that we approve the auditor report.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Anyway, we'd like to thank them. They do a fantastic job. Mm-hmm. They always far exceed our expectations and are very, very good at what they do. We have personnel actions, names for approval.
Well, I don't have any.
Okay.
I know that we were interviewing today, so.
We do have a recommendation.
I'll let you make the recommendation to the board, Mr. Davis, on it.
Well, we'd like to recommend that Troy Winter become the head soccer coach at boys soccer coach at Union. We have not interviewed yet for the girls golf coach, which we're doing on Friday.
So I would recommend to the board that the board approve that. Troy Winter be approved as the boys soccer head coach. Obviously, he will need to select an assistant coach. I think we did have two applicants that were interviewed today, and we have a couple of applicants for the golf, the girls' golf program. I would like to recommend that the board approve that.
I would make a motion that we approve Troy Winters.
Any questions on that? Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay.
Do you get a second?
I'll second.
Oh, sorry. Approval of district consolidated plan.
This is, you have a copy of it. It's a big, thick, blue, 60-page or so, two-sided. This is our annual consolidated application that we fondly call UCA, UCA. It's our annual federal and state office of education required plan to receive our federal and some state funding. It's actually just over a little over $1 million in funding. It's Title I special education, Title IIA at-risk students. It's also our K-3 reading achievement funding, accelerated student program, which we normally refer to as gifted and talented, and our special ed preschool program. It's a lot of work. It takes probably 80 or 90 hours of about 5 or 6 different people to put it together. We have submitted it to the state office, but it does need to have board approval before that can all be finalized. And I recommend that the board approve our consolidated application.
Okay.
Motion that we approve it as we have received it.
If you have any questions, I'd be happy to try to answer them.
I'll second that.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? We have the approval of the district 3-year calendar. I think this has been, the associations have looked through this and.
It's been sent out for input. We did receive input. I've given you a copy of all of the input. After going through that, I did make 2 changes in the original 3-year calendar. In the year 2015-16, we did move the day the teachers have off for parent-teacher conference as a comp day, because those are held during the evenings. From Friday, we've moved it up to Tuesday, March 29th. That would give students an extra day at spring break. So actually, at spring break that year, they would have Thursday, Friday, Monday, and Tuesday. And then we also, in the year 2016-17, since New Year's Day falls on a Sunday, Monday becomes a federal holiday. And so we've taken a day off from the Christmas break and moved it to January 2nd, so that school would reconvene on Tuesday the 3rd. We had other input. There was some concern about starting school on a Monday next year. Memorial Day falls early on May 25th, and in order to get the 180 days in and those other normal breaks that the students have, it was impossible to do anything else unless the board wanted to go beyond Memorial Day. And in my discussions with several of you, that was not the case, so we've left that the way it is at this point, unless there's some input you want to give me on that. There also was some input to try to have a full week of spring and fall break, but that would also mean moving to school a week earlier or a week later. In some years, that's not possible. So I'm recommending that we make the two changes that I have suggested and approve the three-year calendar for goes from the year 14-15 through the year 16-17.
I'll make that motion. Can we approve it?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay, request for automotive program out-of-state travel.
This is the annual Emory High Auto Team. They're requesting permission to travel to Farmington, New Mexico again for competition. They represent both Emory High School and USU Eastern because it is a college class. USU Eastern pays for the travel expenses. We do have six students that would be involved this year, and it is November 21st and 22nd, the competition. I'd recommend that the board again approve that their participation for this year in that competition. This is typically a junior college competition, and our students have almost every year finished either second or third in that competition, and it's a great experience for them. And certainly appreciate Mr. Cobb and the work that he does there. So recommend the board approve that trip.
Well, Mr. Cava does us a wonderful job, and so many students are benefited from it. And I would certainly make a motion that we approve their going down there.
Second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay, let's go to Principal Johnson for your report.
Thank you. I'm going to stand over here, and then you can watch our video of the Halloween parade instead of looking at me. So it was a lot of fun, and it's actually quite amazing how many of our parents come dressed in costume to participate in the help afterwards. It's a great tradition. I hired Dustin Service as new custodian here at our school, and he's amazing. We're very happy. I don't think that Mr. Olson at Emory High is speaking to me yet, but Dustin has just really grabbed a hold. It's become his school, and he's just over the top making things work, keeping things running, and making improvements. And between him and Charlene Peacock, it's just a wonderful combination. They do a fantastic job. So if you see him, tell him thanks, because both of them. We also have some spectacular teachers here. I've been very impressed when I've been in observing them. I'll just randomly walk into their classroom. Doesn't matter where I go in. They're teaching. They're interacting. They're doing the things that the teachers should be doing. They're very good teachers. I appreciate the opportunity to be here with them. This part, at least, is one of our new lunch tables. You can see them here. They've finished the wood around them as far as getting them set into the wall. They still have some finish work to do, caulking and finishing, just making sure that it looks really good. We're trying to decide whether to stain or to paint, so we're going to take a little section and stain it and see if we like it, and then we'll probably paint it. Anyway, that's where we are with them. They're fantastic tables. I appreciate Mr. Black and his team for purchasing them and finding they're stable. Even earlier this year with the old tables, we had one bench tip over. It just was a very serious safety concern for the kids, and these are fantastic, so thank you very much for those. And I really think that our maintenance crew has done a nice job, getting them to this point. They're looking good, but they're not finished yet. They'll get them taken care of. In May of last year, the 1st of May last year, we started a goal to read 1 million minutes as a school until May excited about it. The adults didn't think, well, what's the big deal? But, you know, maybe I'll grow a little longer before we do that or something. But I've been really impressed with the kids and how they've adopted this. We call once a week for the minutes, and they turn it in, and they've really embraced that. It's been a fun thing to do. One of the other things I just, let's see, let me do this first. We've started helping our teachers understand the evaluation that's coming out in next year. We've looked at some sample videos on the web, and we're starting to look at each other a little bit, and they're starting to read and understand and get a feel for what makes an effective teacher. It's kind of eye-opening. Mr. Citrick has expressed to us several times that, you know, even the minimally effective criteria is pretty good criteria. You know, and so it's getting them introduced to it. And this was Mr. Citrick's and the district office idea, not having to be a surprise to get it out there and let them see what's expected and what's coming. It's been pretty positive. Even in the things that we've watched, we've had teachers say, well, this is a good idea. I can incorporate this easily and make some adjustments to some of their teaching already. So I was glad to see the positive side of that rather than, oh, and here we go again, another change. So they were pretty positive about it with most of their comments. Not all, but the majority. One comment, I won't tell you who made this comment, but one comment that took me back was, well, this is all stands, that's not what I mean. You know, that was interesting. I thought, oh, okay, so we still have one. I was talking with Amy Bell, she's our school psychologist. She's actually all the elementary school psychologists, as you know. And I told her, Amy, I said, we need to call you. You're not here enough. She said, yeah. I don't know how we make those services available, but there, our children have lots of issues in their lives. And many of them, it's just amazing what they're going through. So in the future, if there's any way we can call Amy, we need to do that. We need to start helping them here in the elementary schools before some of these things just take hold. I know the problems with even inviting that kind of discussion, but I think it's going to be something we're going to have to look at in the future. So just submit that to you. Let's take a look at that as soon as we can. And then finally, I just wanted to say thank you. I appreciate the district office very much. They'll probably get tired of hearing from us, but I feel tremendous support from them. Tremendous help from, I bet I've called each one, and I'm just very appreciative of what they're doing for me and my school. It is a wonderful thing for me. One of the things that some of the teachers at San Rafael said, they said, you know, if you move over there, you're right next to the district office. It's been a blessing.
You saw us more when you were over there than
I did. Yeah, well, sometimes you just surprise me.
It's too easy to walk over here.
But no, I do appreciate support, and I also appreciate your support as a board, your positiveness with the schools, your desire to improve things, your desires to help us become better in the profession that we've chosen. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, and thank you for all you do. I thank you. It's been a good move for you.
I
you feel that
really
way? Good.
Yes.
Good. That's
and
good.
And the teachers appreciate having you come in their classrooms.
Well, I hope they still.
They do. They do. They verbalize it to me at least when I come in.
Thank you.
Let's go to Jared for the business administrator's report. Okay. Thank you. You've done enough, I guess. Superintendent's report.
Well, I'll just follow up with Mr. Johnson's comments a little bit about the educator and administrative evaluation system. It is slated for at least the initial steps of implementation this next school year. There has been a little bit of the brakes put on it as far as the timetable, and hopefully that'll be in code by next year. Right now, the code requires implementation of the full measure of the evaluation system next year, but I think the Senator Osmond has recognized that it's almost an impossible task to do everything that's in there in 1 year. So next year, we'll actually begin this year. We're doing, hopefully, going to spend a lot of time in training on the new teaching standards and administrative standards. They are quite complex, and we're going to look at those and the tool that goes with that and do some training. Mr. Davis is involved in our committee, Mr. Worthen as principals, and we will be doing some training in our administrative meetings on those standards, and then those principals will be going back to their schools and helping to familiarize teachers with the new teaching standards, and also becoming a little bit familiar with the process of the new evaluation system. I don't think any of us, well, some of us have been hearing this for several years, but I think as principals, I don't think any of them realize how complex this is and how cumbersome and overwhelming it can be for a principal. And it's going to take a huge amount of time and effort on their part as we implement this. But next year we'll be implementing at least the tool and perhaps a student survey. The following year I think you'll see other stakeholder input added to that with parent surveys and staff surveys, and then you'll also perhaps see a gradual implementation of student growth and student assessment, which probably could come during the 16-17 school year. They just haven't determined yet what percent of the evaluation is going to be based on student growth or student assessment. And by 16-17, then you begin to see compensation tied to the evaluation system. But it seems like a stretched out ordeal, but it is really, really important that we take this and get it right, because it is high stakes. It does have a tremendous professional growth element to it, but once you add compensation and student assessment to it, it becomes high stakes. And sometimes that takes the professional growth incentive out of it. It becomes competitive, which really makes me a little bit nervous. But it's something we're going to work through. It'll be a good thing, and we'll make it work. We're spending this year working on those standards and partial implementation, at least with the instrument, next year. I know that some of the principals want to pilot with one or two or three teachers at the end of this year, a trial run on the instrument. It does involve software, online kinds of things, and some of them, most of them, I think, will be doing some piloting at the end of this year in a I don't want to say it. It's a non-threatening. It's not going to have implications for teachers as far as their evaluation, but at least we'll give some practice on how to use the instrument and become familiar with it. Just some information for you. November 20th is Support Staff Employee Day in Utah. I think it would be. We won't have another board meeting before then, and so I certainly want to express appreciation on behalf of the school district administration for those people that we have who work throughout the district and support staff and classified positions. We certainly couldn't do many of the things that we do without them, all the way from our food service to our custodians and building and teacher, educational assistants and child nutrition. I said that. But anyway, secretaries, we have a lot of support within the classified ranks and a lot of good people there that we employ. And we certainly recognize and appreciate the work they do. But that, just for your information, that day, November 20th, is Support Staff Day in Utah. Also, the state superintendent will be giving the State of Education address on the 19th of November. That's from 7 to 8 p.m. I've listed on the report I gave you tonight where it will be broadcast. You can listen to it on KCPW 83.3 FM, or it's streamed on the internet on KC, www.ncw.org, or you can go on the state office, well, actually, it's connect.schools.utah.gov/address, and you can listen to the state superintendent's state of education address for the state of Utah.
Yeah,
it's on the new one.
It's on the new one.
And also the Utah School Board Association convention in January. Remind you of those dates, and Jared will be getting some information on registration for that. And I think that's, I think that's all I have right now, unless you have any questions that I can try to answer.
No, we appreciate that. Thank you. Are there any public comments? Okay. We do have some closed meeting items.
I move we go into closed meeting for personnel purposes.
I second that.
Okay, all in favor?
Actually,
actually
part of that motion is
sorry,
a student expulsion hearing also.
I apologize.
Thanks, Mary, for doing that. Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you for coming. Your input, we appreciate that.